Okay, recording safe to the cloud is correct. Terrific. Okay, so a good evening or a good afternoon to everyone. I see a few familiar faces here in terms of the participants, but I'm be happy to get to know everyone. So if you have a question or whatnot, please introduce yourself first. And I just wanted to say three things before we begin that I think might be important as we deal with, I would think, the actual climax of any community, and that is what happens during davening. A community is built of many things, if it's Limud Torah, if it's learning Torah, kiddushes, other communal activities, but there's no question that davening continues to be the centerpiece of most communities. And because we're dealing with it, I think I have to say three things at the beginning. Number one, many of you come from communities that Baruch Hashem have community rabbis. We in Israel have a very interesting scenario, and that is that many shuls are allergic to rabbis, and therefore many a shul does not have rabbis. And from this perspective, indeed, gabayim have to make calls, halachic calls, that is, when things come up. So at the outset, I'd like to say that if you do come from a community that has a local rabbi, first of all, you're privileged. And second of all, obviously, things that you'll hear here today, you should consult with the rabbi because he, of course, is the final arbiter on what happens in your shul. So therefore, my job here today is really to bring up the issues, but when it comes to determination or conclusion, obviously, you should ask your local rabbi. Number two, there's no secret that when it comes to davening, we have mitzvot d'oraita, most of it is d'rabbanan, and there is many, many, many minhagim. Obviously, so many minhagim that it would be impossible in this context to talk about all of them. However, the minhagim, at least in Ashkenazic communities, which is, I would say, for lack of a better term, it's a Yerusha, it's an inheritance from the Ramah. There's no question that minhagim sometimes take over what's written in the written books. So even if I quote a Shulchan Aruch here or there, many a times in Ashkenazic communities, it's actually the minhagim that are the ones that take the day. The minhagim are the ones that determine. So therefore, even if you see or hear things today that may be counter to your shul minhag, my suggestion would be to go with your shul minhag, and of course, if you think there's a clash, to ask either me or, of course, your local rabbi. And number three, and last but not least, obviously, we built a certain curriculum of these three courses, but I don't think we'll be able to get to everything. From this perspective, at the end of the class, it's going to be my pleasure to give you my email, my WhatsApp, my phone number, and with pleasure, anytime you have a question or you want to share a concern, you're welcome to call me, and you're welcome to write to me or whatever you're comfortable to do to contact me. I can promise you it doesn't bother me. It's more than a pleasure to help out with anything I can, at least from afar from here. So, with those three introductions, my name is Yehoshua Grunstein. I've privileged to be a davener since I could remember, like many of you. I was also a gabbai once upon a time. 1 year, I was a student in Yeshivat Har Etzion, known as the Gush, for 8 years, and one of those years I was gabbai, where I was privileged to be not only gabbai for the yeshiva, but under my two foremost rebbeim, Rav Yehuda Amital and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichronom Tzadikim Livracha. So therefore, I talk also from a bit of experience, but also from another experience, not just as a davener and as a former gabbai, but also as something else. In 2013, I put out my first book called Daven Your Age, in which I try to do what I can to transform what we were learned and taught about davening at a very early age to the way we should be davening as adults. As years went on, I put out another book on davening just about a year ago, towards the end of COVID, where I called the book Musings of a Minyanair, trying to take things from Minyan that ultimately I found and many found to be a bit annoying, I would say a bit uncomfortable, and to offer solutions as to what we can do to make it better. And those are the two books I put out on davening. So therefore, davening has a very warm place in my heart, not just as a davener and a former gabbai, but also as someone that wrote two books on the topic. So from this perspective, with all these introductions, it's more than a pleasure for me this evening to share with you a few things about what a gabbai should know. Many of you probably do know when you run a shul. Let's begin. And obviously, if you have any questions or any concerns or you don't hear well or whatnot, please feel free to write it in the chat or to just say it. It really doesn't bother me. If I'm in the middle of a sentence, I'll just finish the sentence and then happy to hear your questions. So let's begin with the first item that we decided would be the first on this, and that is, in general, Zmanim at this time of the year. We'll begin Friday night and we'll go through the week. So Friday night, candle lighting is usually in most of your communities around 18 minutes before sunset. There is a mitzvah Friday night that's all week long to daven mincha before shkia. That's the preferable time to daven, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah and many others. You can always fall back on the Ramah that says mincha is until tzeita kochavim, until night. But we try to daven before shkia. And secondly, on a Friday night, according to some, if you don't finish mincha before shkia, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tosefet Shabbat, of adding on a bit to Shabbat. So from our perspective, if Shabbat begins exactly at sunset, even though candle lighting's earlier, then at least a minute or two before sunset should be the time that you finish mincha. So therefore, mincha should be set in such a way that you'd finish mincha about a minute or two before sunset, and that would be the preferable thing to do. If for some reason that doesn't happen, if for some reason you go after shkia, it's not the end of the world, because many poskim say, A, you can daven after shkia, as I mentioned the Ramah, and B, it doesn't hurt your Tosefet Shabbos, because you're not doing malacha, you're not writing anything with the pen, you're not in a car, you're in shul davening, which is totally mutter on Shabbos. And therefore, you're covered even if mincha sort of goes after shkia. However, all that is true up until the time that the community accepts Shabbos. Once the community finishes mincha, and the community, Baruch Hashem, is now singing Yedid Nefesh or the Chunaranana, there is a certain point that they accept the Shabbos. If someone comes in late to shul, then up until, let's say, 13 and a half minutes after shkia, he or she can daven mincha. However, they shouldn't daven where everyone else is not davening. Namely, it's not just bad manners, it's also against what's written in the Shulchan Aruch. You should not daven mincha when everyone already finished mincha on Friday night. So therefore, that person should go into the hallway or the foyer, and that's where they should be davening mincha, and not in the shul itself. Namely, their private mincha should be outside, and then they should join the congregation. From mincha, let's go on to Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv, at least in Israel, in many shuls, is actually after nightfall, which is a wonderful, preferable time to daven. And if you do that, let's say 20 minutes after sunset, then you don't have to repeat Kriyat Shema. It's wonderful. However, it's no secret that it's hard to get a minyan where they're going to come to mincha, finish mincha before shkia, wait about 20 minutes, and then daven ma'ariv. That's a very long chunk of time that you're asking people to come to shul. From this perspective, in many shuls, you have what's called a mincha ma'ariv all week. And that's not totally baseless, God forbid. That's based on no less than the Shulchan Aruch, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, that you can daven ma'ariv after shkia and just repeat Kriyat Shema later. Now, this is very important on a Friday night, because if you have a fast chazan who indeed finishes up L'chun Aranana L'chadodim Mizmor Shir B'Mematlikin or Kegavna, and you get to ma'ariv before the 20 minutes after shkia, then you do not have to wait. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah and a Shulchan Aruch that says you can daven ma'ariv after shkia. Just remind people to say Kriyat Shema later on in the evening. My personal advice have always been on a Friday night, when that happens, to tell people, say Kriyat Shema before Kiddush. Namely, by the time you get home and you say hello, Shalom Aleichem, Eshet Chayil, it's around Tzeita Kochavim. And therefore, before Kiddush, it's a good thing to sort of remind yourself to say Kriyat Shema, and that's the way that you probably won't forget later. This is more important on a Yontif night, because on Yontif, as everybody knows, we don't have a long Kabbalat Yontif. We have Mincha, and a weekday, of course, we have Ma'ariv. And the question is, do you need to have a buffer and a break there? So before Shkia, I think it's a good idea to wait till after Shkia. But once Shkia hits, I don't see any reason to wait and to make everyone wait until it's dark, on the first night of Yontif, that is. And therefore, you can daven Ma'ariv right at Shkia. Regarding the second night of Yontif, Machlokes, some shuls do wait, and it's sort of built into the system. However, anyone that would like, I can refer you to a beautiful article in the RJJ Journal called Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, in which they prove from many poskim that you can daven even on the second night of Yontif from Shkia and even from earlier from Plaga Mincha, which is later on in the year. So, therefore, I personally don't see a reason to wait unless that's your shul custom on the second night of Yontif. And once again, remind people to say Kriyat Shema and on the second night of Yontif to wait to say Kiddush until after dark is also a good idea. That's in terms of the Shkia Tzeita Kochavim thing. But what about what we call an early Yontif? Namely, an early Shabbos in the summer, at least in Israel, in this part of the hemisphere. Can you do that on Yontif? The answer is, on all the Yomim Tovim, mi de'oraisa umi de'rabanan, there is no problem to start Yontif early. However, almost on every Yontif, with the exception of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, there is an excuse not to, and we'll go through them very quickly. On the first and second nights of Pesach, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, of course, second night of Pesach is the second Seder, then you're not allowed to start the Seder, all the mitzvot of the night, that is, until after dark. So therefore, many shuls felt that it's better to daven, not early, but wait till dark, because people may go home and start their Seder early. However, again, on the books, there's no problem to daven Ma'ariv early, just as long as you start the Seder after dark. So therefore, if indeed this would help your community, you can daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. We'll get to in a moment what that is, what we call an early Shabbos, in this case an early Yontif. You get home, you get organized for the Seder, and then at the right time, boom, you go ahead and you start Kaddish, exactly at Tzeita Kochavim, exactly at nightfall, after saying Kriyat Shema, of course, because Kriyat Shema should come before Kiddush, Tadir V'She'ino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Second night of Yontif, we already mentioned, it would be the same thing. I'll just add one caveat with regard to Pesach. If your minhag is to say Hallel in davening, there are those that are opposed to do that before nightfall. So if you do an early Yontif, that would also mean maybe not to say Hallel in davening. But I throw that out there. That's a machlokas in and of itself. Again, no problem to daven Ma'ariv early, maybe no Hallel, and definitely not the Seder early. Sfira to Omer, someone asked in the chat, I just want to mention him by name, now I don't see his name, my apologies. Nesher asked about Sfira to Omer, so Sfira to Omer, according to the Shulchan Aruch, should be done after nightfall. However, the Tosfot, many poskim feel that since Sfira to Omer today is the Rabbanan, it could be done also right after Shkia, what we call Ben Hashmashot, twilight. So there's Shkia, sunset, then there's nightfall, Tzeita Kochavim. The time in between is called Ben Hashmashot, sunset. You can say Sfira to Omer there. If you do an early Shabbos, early Yontif, the colloquial minhag is not to count Sfira to Omer. However, obviously, A, remind people to do it later with Kriyat Shema, and B, if you feel that they won't, then you should count then without a bracha, so at least they won't go ahead and miss that night, because there are those that allow it. But I wouldn't suggest doing it with a bracha before nightfall. So that's with regard to Sfirat HaOmer. Moving on from Pesach to Shavuos, somehow Shavuos, everybody knows that you can't start it early, because it says Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot, it should be pure 7 weeks. You have to wait till the 7 weeks are over, the 49th day at night, and only then Shavuos begins. You should know, however, that that is a big chiddush of the Taz, late Achronim. The Taz lived in the generation of the 1700s. He lived through, unfortunately, the Khmelnytsky massacres. And therefore, it is not something that's brought not in the Gemara, which interprets Tmimot totally differently. It's not brought in the Rishonim. And therefore, there are those that totally opposed what the Taz said, including the Korban Etanel and others. And therefore, if indeed you want to start Shavuos early, again, there's an excuse not to, just like by Pesach. However, you have what to rely on. I'll just quote the source. The Tosfot at the beginning of the 10th chapter in Psachim says that you cannot start the Seder early, even though, and I quote, all the Yomim Tovim we daven Ma'ariv early. And he doesn't mention Shavuos as an exception to the rule, or Pesach as an exception for the rule. He just mentions the Seder. So therefore, again, an excuse not to. Many shuls hold by it. But if need be, you won't get a minyan. You should know it's a huge chiddush of the Achronim, and it's what to rely on. Moving on to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, again, you can start early. However, there is a Maharil that says you shouldn't start early because why would you run to your trial? If you need to be on trial, you get there on time. You don't get there early and say, hey, this is going to be great. So therefore, there are those that are opposed, namely the Maharil. But again, halachically, in terms of the Gemara, we've shown him classical poskim, Rosh Hashanah could be started early as well. Second night, we already mentioned. Yom Kippur. You could start early. I wouldn't suggest it, because then your fast would be that much longer. Once you start Yom Kippur, you have to fast, because it's a package deal. So therefore, I would not suggest it, but it's okay. Sukkot, you can start early. However, you have to eat a kezayit of bread in the sukkah on the first night of Sukkot. In Chutz Laaretz, first and second night of Sukkot. And again, that has to be after nightfall. So if you do have an early minyan, you should announce, don't forget to say Kriyat Shema and eat your kezayit after nightfall in the sukkah. You don't have to do Lechem Mishnah at that time. You just have to eat a kezayit, a matchbox of challah, after nightfall in the sukkah, as many of you know, even if it rains, and whatnot. Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeret. Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeret, again, could be started early. The excuse not to is like Sukkot. In Sukkot, we're worried you're going to eat your kezayit before nightfall. On Shmini Atzeret, we're worried that you'll eat it outside the sukkah, because on Simchas Torah night already, in Chutz La'aretz, in Israel, even on Shmini Atzeret night, we don't eat in the sukkah. So if it's Ben HaShmashot, or if it's an early Yontiv, you may have to still eat in the sukkah. It's still the seventh day, maybe. And therefore, it's a Machloket Taz and Maharshal, and we're worried you're going to get into that Machlokas. So suffice it to say that if you don't start the meal early, nothing prevents you from starting Ma'ariv early. So I think I went through all the Yomim Tovim, gave all the excuses, but they are excuses. I will just say there's one Yom Tov with no excuse. Namely, in no book anywhere does it say that you shouldn't start this Yom Tov early. And that is the only one I didn't mention, Shvi'i Shel Pesach. That's like the only one that Kulam Nimnu Himlichu Ve'amru, you can start it early. However, many people again say, no, Yontif, you can never start early, and they also don't do it on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. But again, there is no problem to start it early. Shalom Meir, Lakout says, some eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Indeed, in Chutz La'aretz, according to the din in the Gemara, in sukkah, Taf Mem Chet Amud Aleph, the halacha is, and I quote, Hilchata Yatvuna Yatvinan Bracha Lo Mevarchinan. You eat in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeret in Chutz La'aretz, albeit without a bracha. Not just Chabad, that's the din in the Gemara, that's Paskin in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, and indeed there's various minhagim, do you, don't you, how much do you do, and whatnot. But Shalom Meir is correct that if you eat in the sukkah anyway on Shmini Atzeret, then there would be no reason not to start early because you're eating there anyway. So that is a very good point that Shalom Meir brings up, that then the Shmini Atzeret excuse would be taken off the books. Now, that's in terms of Yomim Tovim and Shabbos. Let's go from the night to the day. The day of Yontiv or Shabbos, the Minhag, all the way back to the Mordechai, is to start davening later. Not just because we have more time. That is the Minhag based on other sources. From this perspective, at this time of the year, obviously, many of you know and many of you announce that you should say Kriyat Shema before coming to shul because you may miss the time in shul. That's known and that should be done. What's less known is that Zman Tefillah, namely the last time you should daven Shachris preferably, is also very close. Say, at this time in Israel, it's around 9:30 if I'm not mistaken, I didn't check today, but it's pretty close to the 9:30 mark. And therefore it could be very close. Preferably, Shachris, including Chazarat Hashatz, should be finished by that time. Same thing is true on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shachris and Chazarat Hashatz of Shachris should be finished by the end of Zman Tefillah. From this perspective, laning could be done later, Musaf could be done later, but Shachris should be finished by then. Bedi Eved, you do have until Chatzot, until midday. But again, most shuls, I think, outside of a special time of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Simchas Torah, I believe would finish their Shachris before Zman Tefillah, but at this time of the year, I would suggest to be at least aware of it. Moving on to Musaf. Musaf is something that preferably should be davened before the seventh hour of the day. The seventh hour of the day is Mincha Gedola plus a half an hour. So whenever it says Mincha Gedola in your Luach plus a half an hour, that's when Musaf should be finished. I think on most Shabbos and Yomim Tovim, that's less of a challenge. The only time it could be a challenge is, of course, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Simchas Torah. The halacha is regarding Musaf, not regarding Shachris, that if you start before that time, you can finish even after that time. So therefore, I believe in most shuls that would happen. The clash may be between Musaf and Mincha. As I said, the end time of Musaf is the seventh hour. The beginning time of Mincha is Chatzot plus a half an hour, midday plus a half an hour. Let's just say from our perspective, 12:30. It's a little earlier at this time of the year. Many shuls, and mostly outside of Israel, with Yom Kippur and the Yisker appeal and whatnot, they may get to that time. And the question is, what do you daven first? Mincha is every day, that's Tadir. Musaf is longer. We usually daven Shachris and then Musaf, and Mincha later in the day. What should you do? The best thing to do is to start Musaf before Mincha time. So if Mincha time is at 12:30, say, you should start Musaf, the silent Amidah of Musaf, at 12:25. And I think that's possible. If not, it's a big shaila in halacha. Some say you shouldn't mix up the people and just daven Musaf and then Mincha. You have plenty of time. And others say, no, you should daven Mincha first, which will mix up the people. So my suggestion is to try as much as possible to at least start the Amidah, silent Amidah of Musaf prior to Mincha time, so you won't have that clash. Mincha could be davened, as I said, from a half an hour after Chatzot till Shkia, or if need be, till Tzeit HaKochavim. And therefore, I want to bring up one little story in this regard. And this is a very important story for many of your shuls. At this time of the year, Mincha is very, very early, 4 o'clock, 4:15. Some people take a good Shabbos shluf and they don't wake up for Mincha. So many a times, I've seen this, Mincha is, as we say, not exactly filled with people. And the question is, what do you do if indeed that's the case? So, you wait for a minyan. If you can get a minyan before Shkia, great. If you can't get a minyan after Shkia, up to 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, you can probably daven Mincha. And as I said, according to the Ramah, even until nightfall. So you have what to rely on. I will tell a little story that Rav Soloveitchik once came to his shul in Boston, and there were 10 people, but the janitor didn't show up, so they were locked out of the shul. He said, we should daven Mincha without a Sefer Torah. So they daven Mincha with Chazarat Hashatz without laning. After Mincha was over, the janitor came, opened the shul, and Rav Soloveitchik said, during twilight, when it was getting dark outside, to lane with brachos. They asked him how, it's after Shkia. So he had an amazing lum de shavort. He said, Mincha's until Shkia. Like a good Litvak, he didn't believe in the Ramah. Mincha cut off point is Shkia. But laning at Mincha is a din in Shabbos. So when Shabbos ends, that's when you can't lane anymore. Shabbos ends whenever Avdalah time is. And therefore you can lane even after Shkia all the way till Tzeita Kochavim. So you should keep that in mind if need be. Going from Mincha to Ma'ariv, I don't know why, and again, I plead ignorance if anyone can tell me why, many people will not start Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos until Shabbos is out. I say I don't know why, because if indeed you believe that by davening Ma'ariv you're saying Shabbos is finished, then I would understand. However, we have a halacha that if need be, you can daven Ma'ariv at what we call the early Shabbos. Plaga Mincha, you can do an early Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos. So if that's the case, even though Shabbos is not out, you still daven a weekday Shmon Esrei, you still say Atachon Antanu, and therefore I'm not so sure why on Motzei Shabbos you would wait so long. Obviously, the logical thing to do is not to daven Ma'ariv too early, because people maybe go home and start doing Malacha before they're allowed to. But to daven Ma'ariv, say, 12 minutes before the end of Shabbos, 10 minutes before the end of Shabbos is 100% fine. No one's going to be doing Malacha before the prescribed time. And I think many of you make Havdalah in Shul, so you're even covered with the Malacha if people didn't say Atachon Antanu in their Ma'ariv. That's in terms of a normal Shabbos. And we'll just fill in. Nesher asks, Atachon Antanu? Yes, you do say Atachon Antanu, even if you daven Ma'ariv early. You're saying, in general, that there's something called Havdalah between Shabbos and the next day of the week, and therefore you say Atachon Antanu, albeit you can't do Malacha until Shabbos is out, obviously.
What if you keep Rabbeinu Tam?
What if you keep Rabbeinu Tam? So the answer is going to be, who asked the question, by the way?
Yeah.
Who asked? What's your name? Okay. You asked the question, what if you keep Rabbeinu Tam? The answer is going to be, it depends why you keep Rabbeinu Tam. If you believe Rabbeinu Tam is the true Tzeita Kochavim, namely on Friday night, you started Shabbos at Rabbeinu Tam time, then that's like, from your perspective, dark. So you should start Ma'ariv 10 minutes before Rabbeinu Tam. However, most people don't paskin that way. They keep Rabbeinu Tam on Motzei Shabbos as a Chumrah. And if it's just a Chumrah, then for sure you can daven Ma'ariv earlier. Again, you don't do Malacha, or say Havdalah, until Rabbeinu Tam time. And I'll give you a proof of what I say. Again, quoting Rav Soloveitchik, he would keep Rabbeinu Tam plus. His family minhag was not 72 minutes after Shkia, but actually 96 minutes after Shkia. However, he would fold his talis prior. He felt that keeping Malacha is a good Chumrah, but all the other chumras, which are the Rabbanan, like folding your talis for next week, which is just an issue of hachana, of preparation, he actually did between what we call the end of Shabbos and his Rabbeinu Tam. Just to fill in, the early Shabbos. The early Shabbos, many of you do, and the early Shabbos would be such that you should start it Mincha and finish it before Plag HaMincha and Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. Now, if Plag HaMincha is very early, that's less of a challenge if everyone's in shul. However, if Plag HaMincha is very late, and I'll just give an example. I was a rabbi in Canada, in Halifax. Plag HaMincha at the height of the summer was 7:27. Now, people ate dinner around 7, so I'm already stretching it. So I made Mincha such, Mincha early, Kabbalah Shabbos, a speech, Baruch Hu at 7:28. And everyone knew it. Baruch Hu 7:28, shul's over, say at 7:40, and they were home by 7:45, whatever it might have been. So you don't have to say Kabbalah Shabbos after Plag HaMincha. You can start that earlier. Baruch Hu should be from the Plag HaMincha mark and onwards, the second after Plag HaMincha. The same thing is true not just on Erev Shabbos. You can use the Plag HaMincha during the week too. You can make Mincha before Plag HaMincha and Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. So even if Tzeita Kochavim in the summer is at 8, 9 o'clock, if Plag HaMincha is at 7, you can daven Mincha at 6:50 and daven Ma'ariv from 7:01 and onwards. So that's something that can definitely be used in the community if it helps get a minyan. The question with Plag HaMincha is, can you do a trick? Daven Mincha after Plag HaMincha saying, hey, Mincha time still Shkia. And once Mincha is over, take a step back and say, you know what? Maybe it's already Ma'ariv time. Maybe we paskin like Plaga Mincha. That is problematic. The Shulchan Aruch says you can do it if you can't get a minyan, Sha'at Adchak. However, preferable is to daven Mincha before Plaga Mincha and Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha. If there's a problem with getting a minyan, you have what to rely on to do both after Plaga Mincha and before Shkia. For sure, you can do both on a Friday night, so there is much more room there. So Nesher asks, what is this 7 o'clock p.m. Mincha? 7 o'clock p.m. Mincha is indeed doing what I just said. You daven Mincha like Chachamim, which says you can daven till Shkia or Tzeta Kochavim. And then after Mincha's over, you take an about face and you say, hey, maybe the halacha's like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what's classically called a tarte desatre, an inner contradiction. However, many shuls do it because they cannot get a minyan. And sha'at adchak kedieved dami, and therefore there's room to be meka like that if you cannot get a minyan. Or if you can get to a minyan, say, you are going to a wedding, you're going to a meeting, and this is the only minyan you can daven at prior to you going, then I think that's exactly sha'at adchak kedieved dami. If, however, you do either the plaga mincha or the more dieved plaga mincha, don't forget to say kriyat shema later, all three parshiyot. So Nesher says, most of the shuls I know, neither are true, unfortunately, meaning most shuls don't have Mincha Ma'ariv. Is that what you mean? All right, you'll write in a minute what you mean. But indeed.
Sorry, I meant that they can get a minyan, and the other thing you said, you know, the people probably, you know, it'll be fine if they did it. It became an established thing, and just everybody does it.
So, indeed, it's an established thing. Many people do it. It could be it's like ingrained in their minds that 7 o'clock I go to Mincha Ma'ariv, and if the rabbi made it earlier or later, you won't get a minyan, and that's the logic. And I understand that. I really do. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch spoke of. I'll admit that when I was a rabbi in a community, for the first year I inherited a 7 o'clock Mincha Ma'ariv. By the second year, I was able to change it to Plaga Mincha. At certain times, it was a bit more difficult, but possible. So I will say that it did do one thing. People knew in the summer 7 o'clock, and all of a sudden now they have to look and see when Mincha was, because it changed every week. It fluxed a bit. So therefore, that made it a bit uncomfortable. So it has to be considered. It has to be considered, will you get a minyan or not? That will be the main consideration. Okay, so that's in terms of Zmanim, in terms of when you can make Mincha Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha during the year, and Yomim Tovim. When it comes to fast days, I just wanted to add in that on fast days, the fast ends when the fast ends. Each community has different minhagim, when the fast ends, not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, when a Tisha B'Av would end versus the rest of the four other minor fast days. Ma'ariv could be earlier. Again, you can daven Ma'ariv at Shkia, and then the fast ends after it's dark. That's a little later. So people can go ahead and be able to break their fast exactly on time without hurting their Ma'ariv, meaning they won't even go 10 minutes over time. However, I want to say two things on this, which are important. Number one. On Motzei Tisha B'Av, there is a minhag to push off Kiddush Levana till after Tisha B'Av. So you can only do Kiddush Levana if indeed it's dark outside and you have hana'ah, you have enjoyment from the Levana. You won't be able to do that if you daven Ma'ariv either at Plaga Mincha or at Shkia, it's still light outside. And many of the places that I'm sure you come from, twilight can be quite long. It could be something like 30 minutes. Depends how far you are from the equator. So from this perspective, my suggestion would be to make a provision that we're going to say Kiddush Levana, I don't know, a day or two later, or if Shabbos is just a day later, we're going to do Kiddush Levana on Motzei Shabbos, hoping that it won't be cloudy, and not to forget it. This past Tisha B'Av davened at a plug HaMincha Ma'ariv, and indeed, I made up with a few people that will say Kiddush Levana on not Motzei Shabbos. That would have been too late on a different night of the week, and it worked out fine. Number two, I will say that Kiddush Levana, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, should be said on Motzei Tisha B'Av, not Yom Kippur, but Motzei Tisha B'Av, after you broke the fast and after you wore leather shoes. Because you should come before God dressed a bit nicer. And from this perspective, a bit more refreshed. That's not commonly done because, again, it's very hard to bring people back to shul, going back to our Mincha Ma'ariv dilemma. And therefore, I would say it's very not practical unless you daven Ma'ariv early. So then they know another night of the week we're davening Ma'ariv and we'll do Kiddush Levana. So that's the one thing I wanted to say about a fast in terms of davening Ma'ariv early. And number two, I think it goes without saying, the fast ends when the fast ends. It doesn't depend on Ma'ariv. So even if you daven Ma'ariv early, the fast is going to end whenever it says in the books that the fast ended, namely, we paskin after nightfall. I just want to end with one thing in this regard, and that is the following. What happens if you come to shul and you are davening on time, but the minion's not there on time? Namely, what do you do? So I would say that by Mincha and by Ma'ariv, it's a hit and miss, meaning it's a 10-minute ordeal. So if you get a minion, you wait a little bit. I told you the times you can wait, till Shkia, till Tzeita Kochavim, and you wait for Mincha, and it comes, you daven Mincha with a minion. And if not, not. Ma'ariv, again, you wait, and I would say a normal, normative amount of time, not a half an hour. And if there's no Ma'ariv, then there's no Ma'ariv with a minion that night. We'll try better tomorrow night. Shachris is more of a challenge, because Shachris is longer. And number two is, most people go to work after Shachris. Just to say this is not a new problem, one of the reasons that we don't have more than three aliyahs during the week is Mishum Bitul Malacha. It's because people had to go to work, and they can't stay in shul so long. So we only have the minimum three aliyahs. So the question is, what do you do if there's no minion? My suggestion is, yes, you wait a normative amount of time where your minion won't be lost. If the minion comes in, then I suggest not to start from Birkos HaShachar or from Korbanos, but rather the minion should start on time, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock with Korbanos, Brachos, whatever you start your minion with, Psukei DeZimra, up until Baruch Hu. Then you wait a little bit, try to tell people not to talk. I don't know how practical that would be. But ultimately, if the minion comes in, the gentleman should put on his talis and fill in as soon as possible. And you should start from Baruch Hu, not to waste everyone else's time that did come in on time. Number two, if you're very pressed for time, even if you do that, you could do a Heicha Kedusha even in the morning. It's not just a mincha trick. It could be done in the morning. However, if you do it in the morning, everyone should say Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael together and should start the Shmoneh Esrei word for word with the Chazan. They shouldn't, like at mincha for many of you, wait till after Kedusha to start their Shmoneh Esrei, but rather, it should be announced, everyone start with the Chazan. When you get to Kedusha, you answer Kedusha. After Kedusha, word for word with the Chazan, Atah Kadosh or Lador Vador. And Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. And then you ultimately go on silently with the rest of your Amida. In that case, most don't do Birkas Kohanim, Duchening. So I won't even mention it because that's the general minag. If you did duchening, it's a bit of a complex thing. So Kohanim have to stand in front and daven from there. Possible, but a bit more complex. Shalom Meir asked the following question. Shachrit in wintertime is a problem if people have to go to work early. Namely, in the winter, or even at the end of the summer going into the winter, many of you don't change the clocks till the end of October, beginning of November, and therefore Netz Hachama, namely, sunrise, which is the preferable time to start Shmoneh Esrei and onwards, up until 4 hours into the day, is very late. How early can you daven Shachris, and what do you do? The earliest time to start Shachris, preferably, is going to be from the time that you put on Talis and Tefillin. Talis and Tefillin is put on not at dawn, a little later than dawn, but before sunrise. The time in Halacha is called Mishayakir ben Chelet Lelavan, and that's the time you can put on Talis and Tefillin. You can look in any luach or any app you use, and you'll see that time. That would be the best time to start at least Shachris, or to be more precise, from Baruch Hu and on. So before Baruch Hu, put on your Talis Tefillin, Mishayakir, saying the Birkos Kriyat Shema with the Shema, and then a nice chumrah is to repeat Kriyat Shema after Netzach Hama, but it's a chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam. However, many times, even that's not possible. If that's not possible, b'diyeved, you can start davening from dawn, from Alot HaShachar. Not earlier, but from Alot HaShachar. The only problem is that you can put on Talis and Tefillin, but you can't make a bracha on it. You can only make a bracha on it once the time comes. So if that's the case, and you won't have a minyan, you should daven shachris from Alot HaShachar. You can put on Talis and Tefillin, albeit, as I said, without a bracha. And then when the time comes, you should make the bracha and move it a little bit. So that means for the Talis to, I don't know, put it over your shoulder a bit, and the Tefillin to maybe make the tie on your hand a bit tighter, or on your head, move it a bit. And suffice it to say, that would be what to do. But my suggestion would be, if possible, to daven, obviously, from the time of Mishayakir, if need be, in those winter days where it's dark at 7 o'clock in the morning. When I was in the UK for the first time, it was the first time in my life I finished Shachris, started in the dark, and I ended in the dark. And the sunrise was much later. It wasn't even in the horizon. So that's what you should do in the winter months. Before we go on to the next topic, is there any questions on this? Okay. So let's go on to the next topic. The next topic that I wanted to deal with in this regard is, we'll get to the Torah reading next time, but I wanted to deal with is special times in shul. Special times in shul means not a regular weekday, not a regular Shabbos, but special times in shul. And I'll go in order here. Number one, skipping Tachanun. Skipping Tachanun, as you know, is one of the most joyful things that anyone that goes to Minyan every day ever went through. I don't know why. Tachanun is confessing for your sins. It has beautiful tefillot, but many, many people, as you all know, are the happiest people in the world when you skip Tachanun. When I deal with converts, I've always told them that I cannot explain in words the joy of a Jew on a Monday or Thursday when he's expecting a long Tachanun, and all of a sudden a Sandik or a Moel or a Chassan comes into shul and they skip it. So Tachanun, as we all know, we paskin like the Geonim that it's not Ma'akev and Tefillah. The Rambam disagrees, but on this we paskin like the Geonim. And therefore we skip Tachanun on Shabbos, on Yontiv, and on many, many other days of the year. And each person has different minhagim regarding not just the special day of the year, be it Lag Ba'Omer, or Purim, or Hanukkah, but also regarding the aftermath, namely the days after Sukkot up until Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, 7 days after Shavuos, when we can still bring Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash to make up for that one day of Shavuos in Israel. There's various minhagim on it. Rule of the thumb is, if the shul skips Tachanun, I believe you should go with it, because we paskin it's not Ma'akev. So I don't think you should skip Tachanun all year. But if you come to a shul, or you inherit a gabbai position in which the shul skips Tachanun, I don't believe it's the end of the world, and therefore it's a well-established thing. And as the saying goes, you go with the flow. That's with regard to Tachanun. The other side of the coin of Tachanun is what we call Avarachamim, or to be more precise, Tzitkatcha. Tzitkatcha Tzedek in Mincha on Shabbos is always skipped if you would skip Tachanun on that day during the week. So, if, for example, you skip Tachanun after Sukkot, or the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, then the Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, like we had this year, next year we won't have a Shabbos in between, that Shabbos, you indeed don't say tzitkotcha. Avarachamim is a different story. I'm sure you all know that Avarachamim, what is the minhag? Someone can please tell me. Do you skip it or not? The answer is, someone just wrote me in WhatsApp the right answer. The answer is, we fight about it. That's the minhag. The minhag is to argue. Avarachamim is not like tzitkotcha. It's not like tachanun. It's a little bit in between. Because, I will be honest with you, Avarachamim happens to be something that, on the one hand, we should have skipped on days we don't say tachanun, because it's haskarat neshamot, where we usually don't do any haskarat neshamot. We don't do a prayer for the deceased on days we skip tachanun. On the other hand, on the happiest days of the year, yontif, when we say yisker, we do say avarachamim. So you can't necessarily put it in the category of these are the things we skip on happy days of the year. If on the happiest day of the year, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Yom Kippur, days that were chayav and simcha, we do say avarachamim. So therefore, I would say that avarachamim is somewhere in between. We skip it more often than tachanun and less often. The minhag is to skip it on Shabbos Mevarchim, except for maybe the Shabbos Mevarchim when the Crusades happened, which is Iyar and Sivan, because that's when avarachamim was written. Some of you have the minhag not to skip it on Rosh Chod of Shabbos Mevarchim Av, based on a German custom. On the other hand, we do say it on Yantiv. So therefore, avarachamim is somewhere in between. It's not exactly like tachanun, is somewhere in between, and therefore the custom is to argue about it, and there's various minhagim regarding avarachamim. Mizmor Latolda, we say every day except for Shabbos and Yontif, Erev Yom Kippur, and of course, we don't say it on Erev Pesach. Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach, the reason is because in the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't be able to eat it at night, either because it's Yom Kippur, you can't eat at night, or it's because it's Pesach, and the Korban Todah was brought with Chametz. So therefore we skip it on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. On the other hand, Lam Natzeach Mizmor L'David, Ya'ancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara, is not the same as Tachanun or Avarachamim. Namely, even on days where you skip Tachanun, the common Ashkenazic custom is to still say Lam Natzeach Mizmor Yodavin Yancha Hashem Beyom Tzara, unless the day itself is happy. So you don't say it on Purim. I don't think you say it on Hanukkah. But if you're skipping it, say, on the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, then you would say Ya Lam Natzeach Mizmor Yodavin Yancha Hashem Beyom Tzara between Ashrei Uvalitzion. Nesher asks about Hoshana Rabbah. So Hoshana Rabbah, the custom is to say a Pesukei Dezimra of Yontif, of Shabbos or Yontif, and we do say Mizmor Latoda, different customs where? Either before you start the Mizmorim for Yontif, right after Ashira LaHashem Tigamal Alai, or Nusach Sfard after Baruch Sheamar, the custom is to say Mizmor Latoda, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring a Korban Toda on Erev Yontif. You can eat it at night, you can eat it with the Yontif meal. Moving on, half Hallel. Excuse me, if someone skipped something by mistake. So let's go in order of davening. So usually everyone reads the Siddur and it's fine. Chazanim in general should read from the Siddur so they don't make a mistake publicly. But sometimes it happens. Let's start from the beginning. Mashiva Ruach Umorid HaGeshem. If you're in a shul where you're supposed to say Mashiva Ruach Umorid HaGeshem like this time of the year, and your custom is in the summer to say nothing like the Ramah, then it's a mistake and you have to go back and you should tell the chazan to go back and correct him. And that usually happens. If, on the other hand, you're in a shul where he said morid hatal, then preferably he should go back. But if he didn't listen, you screamed out, hey, mashiva ruach morid hageshem, and he didn't listen, it's okay if he said morid hatal. Not so with regard to v'tein tal umatar livracha, or v'tein bracha. There, it is a mistake, and you should correct the chazan to go back and to say it properly. Again, there's always one in the shul that does hear it and corrects, and therefore I'm less concerned about if he didn't correct, what do you do, where do you make it up, where do you go back to, etc. But that is a mistake, and that should be corrected. In Israel, we're already past the Vatein Bracha stage of the year. In Chutz La'aretz, I believe you're getting close. It's about less than a month away, and that should be remembered. When it comes to Yalev Yavo, it should be said it is a mistake. If not, then it should be corrected. If he forgets Alanisim, then preferably he should be corrected. It's a public davening. He should do it properly. I'm pretty sure someone will correct him. But if he didn't say Al Hanisim, then it's okay, for one simple reason. He did say Modim. He said, thank you, God, for all the Nisim. He didn't say specifically, thank you for Hanukkah or Purim. But he did say thank you, so therefore you don't correct him. If somehow he passed it. Again, if you scream out Al Hanisim and he corrects himself, it's great. But if he somehow said Atov Shimcha Ulechana El Lehodot, then you don't have to tell him to go back. Not so with Yalevi Yavo. Yalevi Yavo is an insertion. You didn't say it before in Ritzeh. You didn't say it afterwards in Betechazena Hineinu. And therefore, that's a bona fide, I forgot, and you have to go back and correct it before the end of the bracha. When it comes to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's well known that you have to correct the Chazan if he said Hakel Hakadosh, and he didn't say Hamelech Hakadosh. With regard to the other insertions, it's not ma'akev, zachreinu l'chayim, michamocha, uchtov l'chayim tovim, v'sefer chayim. Hamelech ha-mishpat versus melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat is a machlokes. I believe that you don't have to go back because he did say the word melech, albeit he said melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat. If you're in a Sephardic shul, it may be a bit different. The Shulchan Aruch is more machmir on it, but the Rama is mekel on that point. Moving on to half hallel, full hallel. Half Hallel, Full Hallel. So we basically say a Full Hallel, except for on Rosh Chodesh, and on the last days of Pesach. The Ashkenazic custom is, of course, to say a Bracha, because we say Likro et HaHallel. But if you're in a Sephardic shul, the general custom is not to say a Bracha for a simple reason. You say Ligmor et HaHalel, and indeed you're not doing that because you don't say a full Hallel. And therefore, from this perspective, there is a Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is going to be the following. If you say a Bracha on something, then you shouldn't talk about things that it don't have to do with that mitzvah until you finish the mitzvah. So in general, that's not a challenge. You say Al Netilat Lulav, and you shake the Lulav, you've done the mitzvah. However, with Hallel, if you have a chazin that's going to sing, and he's going to take a while to finish that Hallel, then indeed, the probability that people will speak goes up. Therefore, it's important to remind congregants from time to time, we made a bracha, and you shouldn't speak until the end of Hallel. B'di'evet, we paskin that since you started the mitzvah, you said likro et ha-halel and halleluka, hallelu avdei Hashem, etc., then b'di'evet doesn't make a bracha levatala. Like on the night of going and checking for chametz, if you say the bracha, al bi'ur chametz, and you start checking with the flashlight or light, and then after about a minute or two or three, someone talks about the weather, it again doesn't invalidate the bracha. But preferably, the Bedikat Chametz should be about Bedikas Chametz, Hallel should be about Hallel, and you shouldn't talk. If you don't say a bracha, you're more lenient. You shouldn't talk, but the bottom line is that it's less problematic. Same thing is true with regard to saying every word of the Hallel. If you're going to say Likro et HaHallel, you have to say every word of the Hallel. You can't go ahead and say part of the Hallel. So if you have a chazan that's starting out, at least in Ashkenazic shuls, it's very important to tell any chazan in any part of davening that he should say the whole thing. As everybody here knows, you know that the difference between an Ashkenazic chazan and a Sephardic chazan. A Sephardic chazan is a chazan. He says every single word out loud. An Ashkenazic chazan, I like to say, is like a traffic light. It tells you when to stop and when to go. So if that's the case, obviously, sometimes people think, oh, I just have to say the beginning and end. That's not true, of course. You have to say every word, but all the more so when you say a bracha, prior. So if you say a bracha before duchening, you have to say the entire Yivarechecha until V'yasem lecha shalom, and it's much more higher stakes if indeed you say a bracha prior. That's with regard to Hallel in Shul. I would encourage just on this point that since Hallel is a beautiful prayer, many people look forward to it, and it's said on times of the year that are, Baruch Hashem, happy times, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Chanukah, etc. The Chazanim should think which tunes they use to elevate the people. If it's part of a Hallel like Ana Hashem or Shiana, God save us, it shouldn't be in a happy, crappy tune. On the other hand, if it's Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, Kilo Olam Chazdo, or Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem, Nagila V'Nismechavo, it should be in a happy tune to elevate the people properly. Moving on, Kiddush in Shul. So, I have to admit that I used to see in my travels outside of Israel much more Kiddush in Shul before COVID than after COVID. I don't know why, but somehow that got a bit diminished, at least in my travels. It could be, it's not a good survey because I haven't been to every shul around the world, but at least that's what I've seen. In any case, as everybody knows, if you do Kiddush and Shul, usually the chazan doesn't drink the wine, you give it to a kid because it's questionable. So should you say Kiddush shelo bimkom se'uda, not in the place you're eating. And on Friday night, we usually don't eat in the shul. However, and I want to point this out, we don't say Kiddush and Shul at the times of the year where there is an obligation to say Kiddush elsewhere. What do I mean? On the two nights of the Seder, Kiddush is not just Kiddush. Kiddush is also the first of the many simanim of the Seder. So the common minhag is to only say Kiddush by the Seder and not in Shul, generally. If you have a different minhag, I'd love to hear. But that's usually the minhag. When it comes to Sukkos, so I heard from Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita many, many times that the common custom was to say Kiddush in Shul because drinking wine did not require a sukkah up until the Mishnah Berurah time. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he has a bit of a pilpul. And the pilpul is based on this. If you don't have a mizonot on Shabbos morning, Yontif morning, according to many, you can drink a double amount of wine. Let's say a rov reviyit for Kiddush, and then another cheekful for the Se'uda, and that's considered Kiddush b'mkom Se'uda. Many of us use that trick on Pesach, where if you don't eat Gebruch, so you're in a Gebruch void program, and there's a Kiddush, the only way to do Kiddush b'mkom Se'uda is to use that trick of a reviyit of wine. Since wine can theoretically be a se'uda, according to some, it should be done in the sukkah and not in shul. But as I said, Rav Schechter seems to see that when he was a kid, it was always done in shul, and the Mishnah Berurah came along and changed society. So you should know that going in, that if the shul does have a minhag to say Kiddush in shul, that it's not totally off even on sukkahs. Maybe it does not require a sukkah to say Kiddush. With regard to the other Yamim Tovim, there's room to be mitpalpel about the Shechianu, but we'll leave that for your local rabbi to decide. Do you say Shechianu twice or not? Shabbos and Chanukah candles, I was asked, the general minhag is that on a Friday night we light Chanukah candles before Mincha, so that you don't get into a problem of lighting candles after Shkia. On Motzei Shabbos, there's two minhagim. Do you do Havdalah first or candle lighting first? In shuls, mostly the minhag has been to do candles of Chanukah first and push off Havdalah. At home, the opposite. Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim, as everybody here knows, is a very big shaila as to why we don't do it every day outside of Israel. There's a pasuk in the Torah, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the question is, why is it that outside of Israel we don't do it? Various answers were given through the years. I would say none of them really satisfy the halachic question, but that is the common minhag, a very classical example of how Ashkenazic minhag takes over what would be perceived as the halacha in the books. Therefore, when it comes to duchening, since it's so rare, many people make mistakes, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so I thought just briefly to say as follows. The Kohanim usually know what they're doing, so I won't go into the Kohanim. Let's talk about the people. First of all, the people should stand face to face with the Kohanim. That's a halacha learned out from a pasuk, what's known as panim el panim, face to face. However, we don't look at the Kohanim's hands, even though they cover it with a talis, so you should divert your eyes downwards, but you should not look the other way. You should not put your back to the Kohen. As a matter of fact, if you do put your back to the Kohen, it could very well be that you don't receive the bracha of the Kohanim, let alone you didn't mekayim the mitzvah, according to many poskim, of lehit barech, of being blessed by the Kohanim. So we should remind the congregation, face the Kohanim and divert your eyes downwards. Number two, you should not stand in front of the Kohanim. Once again, if you stand in front of the Kohanim, it could very well be you don't get the bracha and you don't mekayim the mitzvah. You should stand behind the Kohanim. There is a shaila regarding the sides. So many shuls have the chazan stand next to the aron, and that's exactly where the Kohanim stands. So he's on the side. That, according to one day out of two, he is mekayim the mitzvah. But if he would stand in front of the Kohanim, namely the Kohanim on the back of the chazan, that would be a problem. So therefore, preferably everyone stands in back of the Kohanim, face to face, and that's the way it should be done. I can tell you that my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, like Rav Soloveitchik before him, used to stand with his feet together the entire Chazarat Hashatz, but he would move for Birkas Kohanim to be, again, with the hands of the Kohanim in front of him. So that's something that I think has to be reminded to many people. I see in my travels abroad that indeed when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, the fear of seeing their fingers is so great that many people put their backs to Kohanim, and that is a problem, and therefore it should not be done. Face the Kohanim, divert your eyes downwards. Now, we spoke about the Kohanim. They know what they're doing. We spoke about what the people are going to do. What does the Chazan do? There are two minhagim. One minhag is that the Chazan says, Atov Shimcha Lechana En Lehodot. Everyone answers, Amen. Someone, say the Gabbai, says, Kohanim. If there's two or more Kohanim. If there's one, we usually don't call out Kohanim. And they do Duchening. That's the common minhag in Israel and both Ashkenazic and Sephardic communities, with the exception of Chabad. However, outside of Israel, many fulfill the mitzvah, the minhag of the Ramah, not just Chabad, where the Ramah says that you're supposed to say as a chazan, even when you duchen, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu, Barchenu barbacha mishuleshet batorah, shiktuvai demashe avdecha, mar peonu vanav, and then say louder, Kohanim, and then you quietly end Am Kedoshecha Kamor. Rav Soloveitchik held this way and said it's part of Chazaret Hashatz. Over Shabbos, I learned the Tosfos that tries to explain why it's not a Hefsek, and that's the Minog of the Ramah. So if that's what your shul does, you should know that that is 100% the Minog of the Ramah, not just Chabad, and it could be done. However, I will honestly say that in Israel, the minhag is that someone else says the word Kohanim, and the Chazan does not say Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu barchenu barbacha mishuleshet, unless the Kohanim are not going to Duchen. If you have someone that's in Avelus, does he Duchen or not? I would say as follows. There is a common Ashkenazic custom not to. However, if that is the case, then the Kohen has to leave shul before the Gabbai or the Chazan says Kohanim. Namely, he should not be in shul at that time when he says Kohanim, because if he's called to Duchen, he has to Duchen. Namely, the Oraisa of Duchening overrides the Minhag of not Duchening. So if in your shul after Kedusha of Yontif, there is an announcement, Kohanim and Leviim, please go outside to prepare yourself and wash your hands, then the Kohen who does not want a duchen should leave the shul prior to hearing that. If not, he should duchen, and the next time he'll know not to. If you ask my honest to goodness opinion, I believe that Kohanim, even if they're in Avelos, should duchen, except for during Shiva. I believe that it's a mitzvah to Oraisa and overrides the minhagim of Avelos. But it's a very emotional thing, and it's a minhag in many Ashkenazi communities not to, and therefore every Kohen should ask his rabbi or rebbe as to what to do in this regard. That's with regard to duchening. Moving on to the last topic for this evening, I want to just talk about the special Torah readings of the year. Everybody knows that at certain times of the year, you take out more than one Sefer Torah, and you read the Maftir. We don't do that on Shabbos, but we do that on every Yom Tov. We take out a second Sefer Torah for Maftir. With the exception of course, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where the Torah reading is the Maftir. Namely, it talks about the korbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Going in order, when you take out two Sifrei Torah, then usually we say Kaddish, Chatzi Kaddish, before the Maftir. Hag Baglila, of the first Sefer Torah, you call up the Maftir. The Maftir comes up, reads, and then ultimately Hag Baglila, and he reads the Haftorah. The halacha is HaMaftir Tzarich Shikra BaTorah Tchila. That the Maftir, the guy who reads the Maftir, should get an Aliyah first. The Magen Avraham Medayek from that therefore there should be no Hefsek. Namely, he should get his Aliyah, Hag Baglila, and then he should read the Haftorah. Thus, on a fast day, where the Shlishi at Mincha is the Maftir, we don't say a Chatzi Kaddish, so there shouldn't be a Hefsek. Hag Baglila, and he reads the Haftorah of Dirshu Hashem Behimatz'o, as we read at fast days at Mincha. However, there are shuls that I've seen that here I think this should be corrected, and that is that after Hag Baglila of the Torah before Maftir, either on a regular Shabbos or the second Sefer Torah, they all of a sudden say all the Mishaberach for Israel, the Mishaberach for the Chayalim, the prayer for the welfare of the state of Israel. That is a problem, because that is a hefsek between the Aliyah and the Haftorah on the place of the person getting that Aliyah. And therefore, if you're going to do that, then it should be done prior. Namely, maybe after the Chatzi Kaddish, before the Hag Baglila of the first Sefer Torah, on a regular Shabbos after the Chatzi Kaddish, before calling up the Maftir. There, it could be done, but not after you called up the Maftir. Regarding taking out three Sifrei Torah, so I just want to remind everyone that when that happens on that rare time, then usually we lay in six Aliyahs, not seven, in the first Sefer Torah. The second Sefer Torah is the seventh Aliyah, so only after that do you say Kaddish, not after the first. And then everything I said about Maftir would apply to the third Sefer Torah. When that happens, the common custom, I don't think this is necessary, but the common custom is that you put the Sifrei Torah on the Bima before saying Kaddish. Very nice thing to do. That is the custom. I think it's a nice thing to do. Haftorah should not begin until the Torah is wrapped up. Namely, until the Torah is with its cover on it, doesn't have to have the crown, but it should have on the mantle, it should have on the cover, then, and only then, should the Haftorah begin. Namely, there shouldn't be a situation where someone's wrapping the Torah and the Haftorah began to be said. The Torah should be wrapped, and only then should the Haftorah begin. On this note, I just want to mention that the halacha of standing up for a Sefer Torah applies in two situations. Number one, when the Torah is being mobile. Namely, it's in movement. It's either moving from the Aron to the Bima or back, or Hagba. However, when the Torah is stable, either someone's holding it or it's on the Bima, there's no obligation to stand up. That's when you need to stand up for the Sefer Torah. You don't have to stand up when you open the Ark. Either Magen Avraham or Taz, I forget who, says, our custom is to show kavod and to stand up. However, they point out that even though it's the custom, because it's just custom, not a halacha, if someone has a hard time standing up, say during all the piyutim when we open the Ark on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the whole ne'ilah when the Ark is open, then you do not need to stand up. The only time you need to stand up is when the Torah is mobile, not to mention during Shmoneh Esrei, Vidui, and other times. But in terms of opening Ark, the opening of the Ark does not mechayev you to stand up. It's only, again, when the Torah is being moved. If the Torah is mobile on the Bima, then you don't have to stand up, which leads into a very big question. Hakafos on Simchas Torah. We dance with the Torah. The Torah is constantly being mobile, and many people sit down. Many have tried to fire in for that question. I don't think so successfully, but suffice it to say that indeed that would be a shaila. It's not a shaila, on the other hand, if you put the Sifrei Torah, say, on the Bima, and they were safely on the Bima, you weren't dancing with them, but around them, then there wouldn't be a problem of sitting down. However, if they're mobile, that's when you should stand up for the Sefer Torah. This concludes what we plan to do for today. I just want to reiterate again what I said at the beginning. Number one, whoever has any questions, I am now going to write on the chat my email, and with pleasure, happy to answer any of your questions at any time. It really would be a pleasure to be in touch with you. It would just be helpful for me if indeed you can let me know where you're from, so I get to know you a bit better. I'm also putting my cell number if you want to call or WhatsApp, same number. Also a pleasure to be in touch with you in that matter. Number two, as I said, many things that have to do with davening are based on custom, not necessarily on halacha. And from this perspective, if you have a custom, it's probably correct unless proven otherwise. And number three, obviously, please consult your local rabbi if you heard things here today that seem a bit strange. There are many shittos out there, and therefore it's a good idea to, of course, go ahead and always consult your local rabbi on things that have to do with the shul, but obviously all the more so with regard to davening. I will be in touch with everyone. I wish you all a very good night or good afternoon and a Shavua Tov. If there's any questions you want to ask here, not by phone, then please, I'm listening.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Okay, those that wrote to me that they want to be in touch, I will write to you now, or write to me directly. Whoever wants to be in touch privately, it doesn't bother me. So just anytime, write to me or give me a phone call. If I'm available and awake, happy to take your call, or we can book a time to speak some other time during the week.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bracha. Wishing you all a good night and a Shavua Tov.
Thank you.